Well, this morning, let's turn in our Bibles. Oh, man, I don't know where to turn first. I always like that story. I hate to use it often, but I do like it about the preacher who came to church and was so full of his subject. He said he didn't know where to begin, and one of the deacons says, "Begin somewhere near the end." I like to tell it because it, you know, makes people feel so good. Maybe he will begin near the end. Well, if we begin near the end, then we'd have to work backwards and come to the front, you know. I want to talk about strength today. There's some things that we can live without. When we come up to camp, it doesn't always have all the comfort that we're used to. And we really don't need them. We're thankful when we have those comforts, but we can get along without them. But if we're going to fulfill God's plan for our lives, one of the things that we need is His strength. It's His strength. And it's more than just physical strength. It's not just feeling strong in our bodies. It's strength that presses beyond. It's the strength of courage and the strength of patience. You need strength to be patient. You do, because it's so easy to be nervous and fight with impatience. And you need the patience of endurance. You know, every year in our Christian life, we have to be stronger than we were before. If we're truly growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, and I need to be stronger and you need to be stronger than when we first began our Christian life. And because, you know, the last lap of the marathon, you need more strength than you've ever had before.
Amen.
It's just got to be there. And you know, we don't know how the race is going, but to be able to have that kind of stamina and to press on takes His strength. It's easier to be more concerned about spiritual comfort than it is to be concerned about spiritual strength. But the Bible has so many things to say about the strength of the Lord. I was looking at my notes, you know, and I had about 25 verses of scripture, and if I comment on all 25 passages here, we're going to be here a long time. We'll be here tomorrow. We don't want to do that. But we are going to look at some. So I want you to turn first to Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter and the 25th verse, which is such a good promise, and we all know it by heart. As thy days, so shall thy strength. Moses is giving a promise to people of Israel, and he's blessing the tribes, and it's so neat. And we'll just lift verse 25 out from its context and notice that he says, your shoes shall be as iron and brass. I don't know that I want to be walking around in those kind of shoes. Ladies have more trouble with those iron, tight-fitting, high-heeled shoes. Can be very uncomfortable. But those are symbolic words. And then he tops it off with saying, as your days, so shall your strength be. If you're having more trouble, there will be more grace. If you're having problems physically, there will be more strength. Double trouble, double strength. as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And that's just the promise of God. It's a great, great promise. When you read the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, the Lord gives all those blesseds. Blessed are the overcomers. And he promises all kinds of blessings upon them. And these blessings come so that we can fight the battle and run the race and finish the course. And without these great promises, it would be possible. No one would have the strength and the endurance to overcome and to fulfill the words of Scripture. But the Lord promises strength, and he brings that strength to us. Because each day demands its own strength. And it's never the same. The only thing that's the same is his strength and his faithfulness and his goodness to us to help us. He anticipates our needs. You know, sometimes when we're talking to preachers who are to pastors, it's easy in the ministry to precipitate problems and trouble. You know, and we do that by worrying many times. I was doing it by worrying the other day, if Grandpa wasn't there, would Eddie be there? You know, wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh boy, I hope he's there. And so I was kind of precipitating my own problems, and Lois would say, you know, don't think that way. That's why she's around, to help me think straight. don't laugh. It happens to you. Your mate does the same thing. And that's why we love them, and that's why we need them, besides all the other great reasons. But, you know, pastor needs a wife that says, no, let's sit down here. Don't anticipate. Don't precipitate it. Don't bring it about. God is always looking ahead, and he orders our steps. That's so great. I think the New Testament definition of ordering our steps is walking in the Spirit. God causes us to walk in the Spirit, and he orders our steps. And in so many cases, we're right where we should be when we ought to be there. And we're, it isn't some spooky, mysterious thing. It's just that God drops it into our hearts to do so many different things, and we're led of God. Yes. And you can't get up and say, oh, this is what I did. It isn't that, isn't it? You didn't do it at all. It's God led you to do it. And you got to give it the right perspective, because that's the way the Lord leads you and guides you, and he orders your steps. And the guidance of the Lord is as a shining light. It's just on our path always. And it's like that flashlight with a 100 or 50 foot beam. As you keep walking, you're always in the light. And he gives you light. And it's that same way when he gives you strength. He anticipates it. And I've said a moment ago that there's all kinds of strength. It's like the engineers that build these great bridges, they have to anticipate the kinds of strength that they need to build into that bridge. They have to have vertical strength in order to compensate for the heavy loads that go across. And they have to have lateral strength for the winds. When you think, I think I read one time that the Golden Gate Bridge has been built into it, and it has 14 feet of lateral strength that bridge can move one way or the other, sideways. And I, first time I ever heard that, I thought, oh, I don't want that thing moving when I'm on it. Drive you right up the wall. Can't think, you know, but that's kind of lateral strength. I think they used to say that whoever wrote that article that I read that time said that the Empire State Building had between 3 and 4 feet of lateral strength to it, that it could move to help absorb the winds, the strong winds. But there's all has to be foundational strength, and so you know, that has to have a great foundation. So you and I need all kinds of strength. And we have to have the vertical strength and the lateral strength and the foundational strength, and that becomes strength. You know, it's strength to resist temptation, and it's strength to absorb the circumstances of life, and it's strength of discernment and strength of faith and strength of hope. And we need more than human strength. Easy to look at that, at these verses, and only think about it, but it is physical strength as well, but it includes so many more. And the Lord says, this is a strength that I want to bring into your life. Psalm 29, if you want to turn with me, is such a beautiful psalm. And in the end of that psalm, that psalm says, the Lord sits king of the flood. I always like that. He sat king of the flood in Noah's day, and he sits as king over every flood of evil that comes in the world and everything that comes against you. And he's in his strength. He sits there as king. But in verse 11 it says, the Lord will give strength to his people. Now this is kind of an affirming word. It's revealed in other ways. And you know, not all the verses that we look at, it's going to say it's going to have to do with, they're going to have to do with strength, but not all previous promises before you come to Psalm 29 include the fact that he's going to give you strength. But here the psalmist voices himself and he says, the Lord will give strength to his people. And I'm sure it's predicated upon the fact that we ask him, but there are many times that before we call, he's already providing for us. Yeah. And you say, some days you get up and you say, how am I going to make it through this day? And it's as if the Lord says, I'll give strength to you. You're one of my people. And he gives us that strength. And that's how it comes to us. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need. Now, most of the time, what do we associate that with? It's a little five-letter word. Money. Money. Yeah, we only think about needs that way. But the other needs that we have, needs that many times people don't know anything about, things that we struggle with, but the Lord knows, because it applies to strength. You know, you can apply that to healing. You can apply it to anything. Because Jesus bore our sicknesses, our infirmities, and our weaknesses. Weakness is associated in the same way. He did it so that we could be free from the curse and from all the things that beset us. And the Lord is always at work wanting to give us that kind of strength. He will give it. So positive. That's why there are times when you have to resist the enemy when he comes against you. You have to resist him every time. But what I mean is that it's so important to understand, don't give place to the devil. Resist when certain symptoms come upon you. Stand against them in the name of Jesus. Stand against them with the power of God's word. Take authority in the name of Jesus. Resist the devil, James says, and he will flee from you. Peter says, resist him steadfastly. Continue to resist him. Don't give in to him in any way. Because weakness and infirmities, those words that are used in Romans 8:26, we have infirmities in prayer. That's weaknesses. Our desire for prayer, desire to seek the face, desire to labor and to intercede in prayer. It's so easy to just be weak in this. And God wants to strengthen those weaknesses. And physical weakness as well. You resist the symptoms the enemy wants to put upon you to sap your strength. And with all your might, you resist every suggestion of the enemy and everything he tries to put in your mind and in your heart. And you stand against him in the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God. And God gives you strength. Because he says the Lord is for the body, and the body belongs to the Lord. It's his. We're his. We're his by creation. We're his by redemption. We are his by possession. In a threefold way, we belong to him, and we have a right to claim these blessings. Isaiah 27, verse 6 is such a great verse. Isaiah says, under the inspiration of the Spirit, let him take hold of my strength. Now that's an admonition. It's an exhortation. The Lord through Isaiah encourages us and the people of his day to lay hold, not just upon the promise of God, but upon his strength, because that is his promise. It's like the man in Acts, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, where Peter and John say, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And in the name of Jesus, he was made strong in a part of his body wherein he was never strong before, in his ankles. And his ankles received strength. Because through the power of the name of Jesus, he laid hold of that word and took faith. And you know, there's so many places in Scripture where Jesus, it says he marveled or he was pleased. Because faith always pleases God when we exercise faith to reach out for strength, whatever the need may be and whatever form it may take. We reach out to claim that by faith. And you know, the Lord writes over that little incident, pleased. You know, you read it. When Jesus marveled at the centurion, remember that? How the centurion says, you don't bother to come to my house. Because I understand chain of authority. And he said, when I say something and they do it. And he said, you have such power. We don't know, it doesn't tell us how he discerned that Jesus had that same kind of power, that in his responsibility as a centurion, he spoke the word and people moved. And he said, when you speak the word, you can just speak the word, and what you say over here will happen over there, and my servant shall be healed. And it says, Jesus marveled. Wouldn't you like to make the Lord marvel? Not just please him, but make him marvel by the exercise of your faith. That's what happened, and that's what happened to this man in Acts, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. He just responds to it. And he, by faith, is reaching out, because that's how we do. We reach out with a hand of faith. And we embrace God's promise. And the spirit of faith doesn't depend upon our senses of what we see or think or feel. Depends upon God's word. There's another one in Joel, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, if you want to take a peek at that. It's one of the songs that has been written from this verse. Let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say let the strong people say it, does it? Right. You have to see it, because people, you know, it's kind of easy to draw back from a verse like this and they say, well, you know, I've heard people say to me, you're asking me to say something that isn't true. No, that's not true. We're asking you to say what God says. God says to us, that even in the midst of your weakness, I can be strong in the Lord, and I can lay hold of his strength, because it's his will. And once you get, you know, if I would be memorizing these passages of scriptures, I'm not giving them to you chronologically as they're in the Bible. Some of them I have. But I think about it. When I think about it, I start back in Deuteronomy 33, and then I go into, well, I start out in Exodus, where Moses and Miriam all, they both get together and say, Moses says that the Lord is my strength and my song. And that's the first place where you have this thought, an idea of the Lord being our strength and giving us strength. And then I would go through chronologically through the books of the Bible, and I'd think of a verse in each one of these books because I remember the books of the Bible. I learned the books of the Bible, and so I think in terms of Genesis through Revelation. And I think about it, and you know, it becomes, and it continues to become, a continual unfolding of the strength and the purpose and the will of God in giving us strength in His care for His people. And it just becomes an enlargement on the revelation of this truth, that the Lord is the source of our strength. He is our strength. Night and day, we depend upon Him. And when people are, you know, when they say, well, you know what, I don't feel good enough to say that. Well, you don't have to.
Amen.
You don't have to. You say what God says.
Amen.
And it's a great truth to be able to say, I'm going to be strong. I told someone last night when we were talking that when Lois's father was in the hospital and he was, in reality, ended up the next day going home to be with the Lord. And she was going in to get the choir ready for the morning service this one day. And she said to me when she walked past my office, she said, call Dad and find out how he is. I want to know how he's feeling today. Well, asking Dad Wanamaker how he feels, you're never going to know, because he won't tell you how he feels. He'll tell you what he believes, but he won't tell you how he feels. You know, he said, how do you feel, Brother Wanamaker? I don't go by my feelings. I go by what God says in His Word. And he was almost legalistic about it. He just wouldn't tell it. He wouldn't say. I don't know that I ever heard him get up in the morning and say, oh, I don't feel good this morning. Never said that, you know. Say, praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good, you know? And so I called him. And I when he answered the phone, I said, Dad, this is Bob. Oh, my son, he said, great, how are you? And I said, Dad, I want to know how you are. And it was a little bit of a pause. And I wanted to say immediately that I was going to pray for him. And I said, I want to pray for you. And he said, pray on, my son, you know. Oh, it's so cute. Pray on. So I prayed. And then I got to that question. I said, how do you feel, Dad? He said, well, I must be better because you just prayed for me. Now, how much did I learn out of that? He wouldn't bend, you know. He just hang in there. And here he is on the almost the last day of his life. And what's he doing? He's saying, let the weak say I'm strong. So he's saying, I'm strong because you prayed. That's something, you know. You don't have to make a big ritual out of it. But this is just this word of encouragement. And, you know, what you say in the beginning of the day and on the thing, how you build your day. I remember Dr. Alexander White from Edinburgh, pastored at St. George's Free Church. And he was, and I think has been considered to this day, his last name is spelled W-H-Y-T-E. But they consider him the greatest Scottish preacher that ever lived. He was just a great, great preacher. But he used to have things that he did every morning. Every morning when he'd get up, and it was he that Samuel Chadwick talked about. He had a habit that on every Lord's Day, all the 60 years that he preached, every Lord's Day, before he went to church, he read Revelation 4 and 5 because it pictured what worship was like in heaven. And he'd say, I want to think about that this morning when I go to church to lead in worship. I want my mind and my heart filled with the Word of God. And then he would affirm what he believed. Like the Apostles' Creed, he'd affirm it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord. And then there were other statements of faith, creeds that he'd use. And he'd just go over what he believed day by day. And then he'd go to church in that affirmation, and he'd say, and he did it through the week. and he'd say, you know, then he'd share in his book how there were times when he was low or depressed. Preacher's Mondays are difficult days because you look at yesterday and say, Oh man, I did so bad. I'll never preach again. That's so bad. I can't stand it. And you know, I'm sure early preachers were glad they didn't have to listen to tapes of their sermons and they'd say, "Oh, did I say that? Oh, I can't believe I did that." You know, and you just get more depressed and depressed. And he'd say, "Man, I had to double up my affirmations and what I believed in the morning on Monday, so I wouldn't be discouraged." You know that this is an affirmation. Let the weak say, "I'm strong. I'm getting stronger. God's going to touch me. God is working for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Oh my. You can just go on and on with all those wonderful verses of Scripture. And you know, it's the things that we say. I won't go into it, but you know, Mark the 11th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Whatever thou sayest. Whatever you say, whatever you believe, whatever you say and what you believe is going to come to pass. And that's tremendous. Hebrews 11, verse 34. I love this verse. "Out of weakness were made strong." That's the passage of the great faith chapter. And this is what Paul was saying when he was talking in 2 Corinthians 10. He said, when I am weak, then am I strong. It's out of our weakness that God brings us up into strength. And it's always the possibility. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And we lay hold of those promises and we say, "Out of weakness, I'm going to be made strong. I'm going to be made stronger." And you know, I couldn't tell you the times that God would strengthen me in times, you know, when you didn't have anybody else to preach for you. You didn't, you know, I remember my first pastor at Lowe's was still going to college, and I was up there by myself in this little church, and I had to get up like at 5:30 on a Sunday morning and go down to that little church and build the fire. And oh, if you'd have seen me in those mornings, it was wild, because we didn't have a big fan to get the air out of the top of the church. It wasn't a big church, just a little church. When I go through that little town in Wisconsin once in a while, I look at it and I say, you know, I used to think that church was bigger than it was. But you know, it just keeps getting smaller and smaller the more I look at it, you know. It's like going home to see where you used to live and you'd say, "Did I live in that little house? I thought sure that house was bigger than that. We thought it was big when we were little." But I can remember, and I used to have a piece of metal. It was lightweight and it was curled up on the end so I could have a handle on it. And I have told this a long time, but I'd get the fire going and then I'd stand on the platform and I'd stand up there and I'd wave that thing with all that I had. And I would create the movement of that heat that was going from that pot-bellied stove. And it would go up there to the top and hang up there. So I'd get it moving. And I had till 9:30 to do it. So I'd do it as long as I could till my arms were ready to fall off. And then someone said, "Why didn't you get a fan?" Well, in that little town, we didn't have a lot of fans like that. And I didn't have that kind of money anyway. And nobody else seemed to be concerned about it. They thought that was good exercise for me. I had to do that time after time. I can remember standing up there and waving that thing. Remember that? That was so crazy. I thought someone with more sense would have at least thought of something better than that. But I made it work, you know. And it happened. And I can remember there were times, because sometimes I had to walk. This is a part of the story where you want to say, "Oh, you know, make me feel real good." I had to walk like 2.5 miles to my church, and it would be 25 and 30 degrees below zero, and I'd come in there just freezing cold, and I couldn't wait to get that fire going. And on Saturdays I'd clean the church up, and I remember sometimes how sorry I'd feel for myself. I'm like, "Thank you."
feels all better inside.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. You feel so sorry for yourself. And I remember when my father passed away in 1948. I had to leave the cemetery on a Saturday. Buried on a Saturday morning. And I had to leave and get on the train to get up to the little church that I pastored. And during that time while I was gone, I tried to find someone who would preach for me, and I couldn't find anybody. And so I had to go home and preach, because I had a Saturday night Bible study in a little town about 10 miles away. And I had the Sunday morning services, Sunday school and church. And then I had an afternoon Bible study in another town about 8 or 10 miles north of us. And then I had the evening service, and I was thinking about all those Bible studies and preaching morning and evening, and I thought, oh Lord, you know, someone ought to be willing to help me and take my church over for me the day after my father passed or was buried. But I couldn't find anybody. I remember riding the train. I remember how sorry I felt for myself. I just was, you know, crying back there in the back of this like a Pullman observation from the Hiawatha, the Milwaukee Road train, and riding it, and I got off and oh man, I felt bad, and I had to go down and scrub the main runner, those ribbed, black ribbed runners, and it was so cold in church that the water that I had heated up from a neighbor next door to the church, that the water would freeze in those cracks. And I thought, if I don't get heat in here, it's going to be the slipperiest aisle in the whole town, you know. Slide down that aisle and fall, you know. It's unbelievable, you know. And I went to the Saturday night prayer meeting, and everybody, of course, knew what had happened in my life during that week, and they were all comforting and great. And the Lord said to me that day, he said, I'm going to be with you, and you're doing this for me. And I remember I got such encouragement. God, you know, I had a cold. I felt like I was having the flu. I had to preach 4 times. And I just was at the bottom of the barrel. And I said, Lord, you just have to strengthen me. You know, when I got done on Sunday night and went back to my room to listen to the old-fashioned revival hour broadcast at about 10 o'clock at night, I was feeling stronger than ever. And I said to myself, how'd you do that, Lord? How did you do it? How does he do it? He just pours his strength in. That's what happens. You know, the Lord helps you to go through experiences like that so you can tell those sad stories to your friends and they feel sorry for you. Poor Bob, you know. Well, when you think about all those things, you know, and you say, well, but it was the Lord. It's the Lord that brings us through, and he gives us that strength. I've told you so many times, one of my favorites is that Psalm 71:14, where it says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. Not every translation makes it that way, and I can't figure that out. Why it doesn't, but I will go in the strength of the Lord. And God does give strength so powerfully to us. Let me just choose one more, and we'll look at Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. People say, well, you know, what's the secret of his life? Just seems like God uses that man so wonderfully, or that woman. And you wonder what it is. And the psalmist in the 84th Psalm says, blessed is the man whose strength is not in himself. It's in, his strength is in God. And the promise is, he shall go from strength to strength. Or it means from strength to more strength. Amen. Because there is no limit to the strength of God. Amen. To what God can bring into your life. And how he can quicken you. I love that word in the Psalms. The psalmist David loves to use that word. Lord, quicken me by your Holy Spirit. Quicken me with your commandments. Quicken me with your ordinances. Quicken me to life. And it's, he uses it every time he turns around. He wants those divine quickenings. And we know what that is. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us and who anoints us. And he wants to give us that quickening of the Holy Spirit. And it may be quickening to believe, or quickening to be strengthened, or quickening to speak, quickening to pray the prayer of faith. There are divine quickenings that come. And we claim them because he enables us to go from strength to strength, because there is no limit upon this strength. Jesus bore our weaknesses and our infirmities so that we could be strong. There are people who can get healed but sometimes can't get strong after they've been healed. And you get strength the same way you get healing from the Lord, by faith, repentance, by searching in your own heart, confessing what you need to confess before God, and laying hold of the promise of God. And weariness can leave as quickly as sickness or any pain. Whatever it is, weakness can be gone simply because God promises to give us strength and more strength. And there's no limit to the strength that God wants to give us, because he commands our strength. That's what he says in his word. He commands strength to come to us. And I always, when I look at that verse of scripture, when it says the Lord will command your strength, I look at it as the same way we look at that passage when it says he sent his word and healed them. And I envision in my mind's eye the word of God, the power, the healing power of the word of God enters into us when we pray for people or pray for ourselves. And when we pray for others, it enters into them. And sometimes I pray, Lord, while I'm praying, let the power of your word enter in. Come with healing and quicken this brother, quicken this sister by the power of the word of God, because you sent your word and healed them. And divine strength comes. Because we open ourselves to the Word of God and open ourselves to His promise, and we claim them, and God comes in mighty power in our lives. And it's so beautiful. So it's not our strength, but it's His. And He's the one who works effectually in us. And weakness goes. It goes. It has to go. It goes in Jesus' name. And in fiery trials, weakness may come upon us, and sometimes there's no escape from it. But there is deliverance eventually, because God gives us his mighty power. And the power of the name of Jesus is so wonderful. God says that we all must bow before it. We have bowed here on earth. There are people that will eternally have to bow before the power of this name, which is above every name. When you think of people that won't bow here in this world, I want to be one of those people that bow before him in submission and in surrender and in openness and availability, and say, Lord, let the power of your name and the power of your promises and the power of your strength, it's strength of a higher plane. It's the kind of strength that helps us to carry out our normal duties, the daily duties, the practical things. It's power to, again, to resist evil and to resist temptation. It's power to endure, to stand strong, having done all to stand therefore, Paul says in Ephesians, that strength that God gives us, it's strength for the victory. And it's the Lord who is the one who gives us the victory. I think it's in Proverbs the 21st chapter, that there's a verse of scripture when it's translated, close with this, verse 31 in Proverbs 21, that says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is from the Lord. And when you look up the marginal note on it, it says victory is of the Lord.
Amen.
Victory is always of the Lord. There is no victory without the Lord.
Amen.
There is no victory against the Lord, but there is always victory in the Lord. Remember that. No victory against Him, no victory without Him, but there is always victory and there's always strength in the day of battle in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we claim those promises by faith. And these are these exceeding great and precious promises that give to us. And you know, those are only 10 or 12, but there are so many in the Word of God. Take your concordance and look up all those verses and memorize about 6 or 7. And then the next time you're called upon to pray for someone, to encourage someone, just start giving them those verses. And it'll build their faith. And build their faith. And build them up. And they'll say, I'm going to take faith in that promise myself. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. Lord, we say amen to your word.
Amen.
We say amen because we believe it and we embrace it. And because you're going to make your word come to pass. Lord, we know that you rejoice when we lay hold of your promises. So as we move into this new year, as we await the camp season of next year, we exercise faith in your almighty promises that never change and never fail. As you said, as it is said concerning Samuel, that you allowed none of his words to fall to the ground. We thank you that you will not allow any of your promises to fail or to falter, but you will bring them to pass. And we want to hide them in our hearts and to embrace them by faith. And we do so by your divine strengthening and by your divine quickening. Do it for us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.